Well, morning, folks. If you're here in the auditorium or if you're up in the gallery here at Church in the Marketplace, and if you're listening into our podcast, then g'day. And it's awesome that you're joining us, and we pray that God will bless you as you listen in this morning. We're doing this series called Dare, and the idea is to put a challenge to ourselves, to take the risk, to step up so that God can do with us what God wants to do with us. God wants to do with you. God wants to do with me. God wants to do with Church in the Marketplace. And I've been thinking about how God is going to do that and how God is going to get inside our heads and our hearts so that we'll take the challenge, we'll take the dare. And what surprised me as I thought about that was how much God uses imagination and God uses dreams and God uses visions to achieve his purposes. As I said earlier, I think of myself as a fairly structured and organized sort of person. I know that surprises some of you. And I kind of reckon that it's just more efficient for God to simply say what he wants. Here it is, Peter. Now you go and do it. And while God does that some of the time, I have to say I was surprised how much God uses very subjective and very personal ways to communicate with us. So this morning we're going to look at some of what Scripture has to tell us about imagination and dreams. So as we prepare to do that, let's pray. Lord, we do want you to speak to us. And we want to be open to what it is you have to say to us. And sometimes the idea of accepting your challenge is awesome, and sometimes it's scary. But Lord, we believe that you have our best interests in your heart when you communicate with us. So we want to open our imagination, we want to open our minds so that you can talk to us in the way in which you purpose for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, one of the great gifts that God has given us is the gift of the imagination. It's the ability to see things, to think, to create with mental pictures, if you like, in our mind. And the reason we have this gift is because God imagines. The Bible tells us that God imagined the universe. He thought it up before it became reality. The Bible says that God imagined history. He's already seen it happen because he thought it up. He imagined it in advance. The Bible calls that God's foreknowledge, God's omniscience. So we're most like our Creator when we are being creative. Does that make sense? All creation starts with imagination. Nothing becomes reality until first somebody thinks it up. This building didn't become reality until somebody thought it up in their mind first. Every business, every piece of art, every musical note, somebody imagined it before it became reality. Nothing happens unless somebody imagines it. Without imagination, we couldn't make decisions. When we start to make a decision, we imagine what would happen if we did this or what would happen if we did that, and then we make a decision. So imagination is a tool. A tool which can be used for good and it can be used for bad. And like any other gift from God, whether it's fire or water or relationships or sex or anything else, whatever God gives as a gift, it can be misused and it can be abused and perverted. So God gives us a couple of categories. There are some things that the Bible says... Where did that come from? Over the place. Okay, we'll see where that comes later. So the Bible says there are a couple of things that we shouldn't imagine. There are some things we can't imagine because our brains aren't kind of big enough, and there are some things we should imagine. There are some things that the Bible says we human beings shouldn't imagine. We shouldn't allow in our minds. Worry is a misuse of our imagination. Because we imagine something in our mind and we start getting fearful about it and we go over it and over it and over it. We're using our imagination every time we worry. But we're misusing it. It's a perversion. God didn't give us our imagination to be able to picture something and then get stressed about it. Lust is a misuse of our imagination. Revenge is a misuse of our imagination. When we think, I know how I'm going to get back at that person. They said this, and I'm going to say this. That's a misuse of our imagination. So there are some things we shouldn't imagine. But then the Bible says there are some things we can't imagine. The Bible says that God is so great, we can't even imagine how great he is, how powerful he is. We look at the universe and see how great the universe is, and the universe just shows a fraction of God's greatness. We can't imagine how much God loves us. God loves us so much our brain would explode if we understood how much he loves us. God is love. That's his nature. So we can't understand that fully. The Bible says we can't imagine what heaven is going to be like. We're limited to time and to space and to distance, the three dimensions that are here in this world. But heaven has more dimensions. So we can't imagine how cool and how great and how wonderful it's going to be. 1 John 3:2 says, yes, dear friends, we are already God's children and we can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. But we do know that when he comes, we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. We can't imagine what we're going to be like when Jesus comes back. We're going to be different. Our body will be different. But then there are some things we should imagine. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, fix your thoughts. That means concentrate, it means focus, it means consider, it means meditate, it means imagine. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. These are the kind of things God wants us to imagine. I don't know where that's all come from. That looks like last week's. And yeah. Sorry? I know, it's last week's for some reason. Yeah. Ah, dear. Don't know where Way is. Maybe we can see if we can get it back a little later. So I want to say this couple of things about imagination and about dreams and visions this morning. If we can get those back, we will. First thing I want to say is our imagination shapes our lives. In other words, the way we think is going to affect the way that we feel, and the way we feel is going to affect the way we act. And if we want to change the way that we act, we need to change the way that we think. So Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man or a woman thinks in his heart, so is he. It's God's way of saying, I want you to understand that how I work in your life is through your thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 4:23 says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Albert Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. He said, logic will get you from A to B. Imagination will take you everywhere. There's no limit to imagination. The true sign of intelligence, he said, is not knowledge, but imagination. Michelangelo, when he painted the Sistine Chapel, those beautiful frescoes, he had to imagine it all in his mind before he put it on the ceiling. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian thinker of the last century, said, imagination is the organ of meaning. The philosopher Pascal said, imagination decides everything. William Arthur Ward said, if you can imagine it, you can achieve it. If you can dream it, you can become it. And then that great theologian, George Lucas, said you can't do it unless you imagine it. Imagine him imagining the Star Wars trilogy. That took a bit of imagination. Second thing I want to say is imagination is essential to living by faith. In fact, we can't live by faith without using our imagination. Because we can't see God, we've got to use imagination, it says, to practice our faith. So Hebrews 11 is a great chapter about faith. It starts off defining faith. What is faith? It says it's the confident assertion that what we hope for is going to happen. It's the evidence of things we can't yet see. Notice that faith is a way of seeing. We can see with our physical eyes. That's the first way we see. That's one way of seeing. And second, we can see by our imagination, our mind. We can picture things in our mind and we can visualize them. That's another way of seeing. When we can't see something physically, we have to imagine it in our mind. Remember when you were a kid at Christmas time? And there are the gifts wrapped under a Christmas tree. and you saw ones with your name on it. And you started imagining what was inside the box. And you got excited because you thought you knew what was inside that box, because you were picturing it in your mind. You couldn't see it, but you were imagining that gift, that toy. It's the tool that God uses, and we have to use walking with Jesus because we can't see God. So when we can't see God right now, we have to imagine. God has given us the tool of imagination. And when we read the rest of Hebrews 11 about all those heroes of faith, we realize that every one of them became heroes of faith because they used their imagination. So you remember the story of Abraham. God said to Abraham, Abraham, you're an old dude. You're 90 years old and you have no kids. But I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of a great nation. For about a decade, Abraham still has no kids. So imagine Abraham. Imagine he goes to the local restaurant. A table for two, sir. Might I ask your name? Sure. Father of a great nation. Wow. That's awesome. How many kids have you got? None. Be pretty embarrassing, really, wouldn't it, to be called the father of a great nation and you don't have any kids? But God always names things in advance. So God says, Abraham, I want you to go outside and I want you to count the stars at night. That's how many grandchildren and great-grandchildren, how many you're going to have in your family. That's going to be the nation of Israel. What God's doing when he tells Abraham to go and count the stars, he's activating his imagination. He's saying, I want you to visualize what I'm going to do in your life. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. The Bible says we need to focus on the things that will last, that we actually can't see with our eyes. We have to imagine them. So my imagination shapes my life, and imagination is essential to living by faith. The third thing I think we can say is great lives are built around great dreams. We don't just get born a great person. We become great by attaching our lives to a great cause or a great purpose or a great dream. We need something bigger than ourselves to make us grow better than ourselves. Greatness comes from what we attach ourselves to. We need something bigger than ourselves that pulls us out of our self-centeredness and makes us great. During Dare, one of my prayers for us is Ephesians 1. May God enlighten the eyes of your mind so that you can see the hope that his calling holds for you. Notice that. May God enlighten the eyes of your mind. He's not talking about our physical eyes. He's talking about our imagination. He's saying, I pray that your imagination will come alive and in faith you'll be able to see God's dream for your life, God's vision for your life, God's purpose for your life, God's calling on your life. And folks, God has a calling for us. Many people miss their calling in life because they're following their dream instead of God's dream. I could make up a dream for my life and say, look, I dream of being a rock star. You're laughing. But it would be a waste of my life because God didn't wire me to be a rock star. God says, I want to give you my dream for your life. That's our calling. He says, when you understand what I've made you for and I've built you for, then you're going to have hope. Folks, if we want significance in our lives, if we want satisfaction in our lives, if we want fulfillment in our lives, here's what we've got to do. Stop following our dream for our life and start following God's dream for our life, because God's dream, when we fulfill it, we're going to go, that's it. This is what I'm made to be. It fits. I know my niche. I know why I'm alive. So the Bible says in Proverbs 28:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Fourth thing I think we can say is God's dream for my life is bigger than my dream for my life. God's dream is always bigger than any dream I might have. It's far larger because it is eternally significant. There are a lot of dreams we can have, but they wouldn't be significant. I could dream of being a millionaire by a certain age. For what purpose? Do I think that God put me on this planet to live for myself? Of course not. God's dream for our lives is bigger than our dream. Ephesians 3 says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Far more than we could ever imagine. God can do that in our lives, or guess or request in our wildest dreams. God's dream for our lives is enormous. It's big. He says, I can do more than you can imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. The Bible says he does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His spirit, it says, working deeply and gently within us. So God wants us to dream big. He wants to use the imagination that he gave me, because dreaming big honors God. It shows faith and it shows trust. So we should base our dream not on what we think we could do, but we should base our dream on what we think God can do. We let the size of God determine the size of our goals. Fifth thing I want to say is that doubt is the enemy of imagination. Doubt and fear neutralize what God wants to do in our lives. See, it takes courage to imagine, because mostly we're afraid of failure. When you were a kid, you had a great imagination. But the older we get, the more our imagination grows rusty. And we stop imagining what things could be, and we start living the way they are. And we get stuck in the status quo, which is Latin for the mess we're in. We don't imagine what could be. We just think about what is, and we stop using that imagination muscle in our lives. So doubt is the enemy of imagination, and that's why it takes courage. Courage is doing the thing that we fear most. Courage only happens when we're scared to death. Courage is when we're scared to death and we say, I'm going to do it anyway. Courage is when we do the thing while we're afraid. We do the right thing. We say, should I wait until the fear is gone? Then it's never going to go away. We just do it while we're afraid, and then it goes away. Doubt is the enemy of imagination. We have to move against our fears, and sometimes we have to ignore all the insecurity that we're feeling and just say, look, I'm going to go for it. James 1 says, if you need wisdom, just ask God for it, because he is generous and enjoys giving to everyone. But when you ask God, you must believe in faith and not doubt. For a doubtful mind, it says, is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven back and forth and tossed about by the wind. Such doubters can't decide about anything they do, so they should not imagine, there's the word imagine again, receiving anything from the Lord. In other words, we need to doubt our doubts and believe our beliefs. Our imagination is either going to be governed by our fear or governed by faith. There's a great story in the Bible of a man who had a son who was sick. He came to Jesus. It's in Mark chapter 9. It says, the man said to Jesus, please heal my son if you can. Jesus replied, what do you mean? If I can, anything is possible if a person believes. And the father replied, I do believe, but help me not to doubt. I love the authenticity of that passage. You know, this guy, he says, I believe, but I've just got some doubts. And you know what Jesus' response was to this guy when he said, what do you mean? If all things are possible, if you believe. And the guy says, I do believe. Help me with my doubts. Jesus said, good enough. And he heals the guy right on the spot. I wish I'd learned a long time ago. I wish somebody had told me I don't have to have all my doubts resolved and all my questions answered in order to follow Jesus and enjoy the benefits of doing that. I've still got doubts. When I get to heaven, you can get in line behind me. I've got a few questions to ask Jesus. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? I doubted this. I doubted that. I didn't think that was a good thing you did. And folks, I don't have to understand something for me to benefit from it. I don't have to have it all figured out. I don't know how internal combustion works, but I can get in a car and drive from A to B. I don't have to understand the chemistry of digestion. It doesn't stop me from eating a steak. I don't understand how television happens, how all those pictures fly through the air and through your body and mine, and I can see them on a TV screen. How can I pick up a phone and talk to somebody on the other side of the world? I don't know. I can't explain that to you. But I don't have to explain it to enjoy it. Does that make sense? And I don't have to have all my doubts answered and all my questions resolved in order to live by faith. Lord, I believe, help me with my doubts. And God says, that's enough. How do we refuel God's dream for our lives? God says God's Spirit and God's Word fuel our imagination. God provides the energy for our dreams. First, He gives us the Holy Spirit. Second, He gives us His Word and promises in the Bible. So John 14 says, I will ask the Father, He will give you another helper who will be with you forever. That helper is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. You'll know Him because He lives with you and will be in you. That's where the power comes from. It's not self-help psychology. It's not build ourselves up with a positive mental attitude. This is the Holy Spirit working in you, giving you the power that you don't have. And the other source of refueling is God's Word. Psalm 119 says, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your law. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments. I will meditate. That's imagine, think about, consider. I will meditate on your wonderful miracles. How do we do it? Let me just give you one little tip about getting God's dream while we're talking about this. It's actually easier to hear from God when we are relaxed than when we are stressed out. When I'm stressed out and my mind is going with all these fears and worries and stress, I can't hear God because my mind is talking too loud. I've got to get relaxed. That's why we call it a quiet time. We get quiet, we get calm. We can't hear God with the radio on. We can't hear God when we're talking to ourselves about all our worries. We need to get quiet and get relaxed. Someone said that's one of the things you can do as you're going to sleep. The last thing you do as you put your head down is you ask God for something. Ask Him for guidance and say, Lord, I'm going to be relaxed for a little while now. And you're going to be able to talk to me a whole lot better than any other time. So say, what's next, Lord? What do you want me to do next? Or give God a problem. And while you're sleeping, the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to influence our subconscious. While we're asleep and we don't have our guard up, when we're relaxed, God can communicate with us a whole lot better. And then sometimes we wake up in the morning and we've got an answer. Isaiah 50 says, the Sovereign Lord has given me His words of wisdom, so I know what to say to all these weary ones. Morning by morning, He wakens me and opens my understanding to His will. It's how God refuels our imagination. God helps us understand His vision for us by growing our character. Just mention a couple of things. What I mean by that is, if we're having a hard time understanding God's purpose for our lives, sometimes what God wants to do is grow our character. I say, look, I don't get it, God. I don't see the vision. I don't get the dream. I just don't see. It's pretty muddy. It's unclear. And then what God wants to do sometimes is say, well, Peter, I want to work on your character. Because the more mature we become, the clearer the vision will be. As we add character qualities in our lives, we're going to be able to see things more clearly. The Bible talks about it in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says this, to your faith add goodness. And to your goodness add knowledge. And to your knowledge add self-control. To your self-control add patience. To your patience add service for God. And to your service for God add kindness for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And to this kindness add love for everyone. If all these things are in you, and are growing, they will help you to be useful and productive. But, he says, anyone who does not have these qualities cannot see clearly. Isn't that interesting? Notice again the link between our character and the way we see things. Last thing I want to say is if a dream is from God, it will be connected somehow to His church and His purposes for the world. If our dream is truly from God, it can only be about God's purposes for the world. Why would God give you a self-centered dream that's unconnected with what he wants to do in the world? So when God's purpose, if you like, is building a family and collecting family members from every nation and every tribe and every language and every people group, and when everybody's in the family, he knows that are going to be in the family, then God's moving to stage two, which is eternity. God didn't create us to live on earth and to live a self-centered life where we get up and we go to work and we come home and we watch TV and we go to bed and we make a little money and we retire and we die. I think that's all God put us here for. He put us here to be part of his purpose. And if he gives us a dream, we get a dream from God that is somehow going to impact on his church and on his world and on his purpose. Did you know that the church is bigger than China and India put together? The number of Christians is bigger than China and India put together. It's the biggest thing on the planet in terms of people. Why? Because God created it. It's the whole purpose of history. And if God is going to have a dream for your life, a specific dream, it is somehow going to play a role in God's church and in God's kingdom and in God's family. Jesus says this, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. So folks, here are three questions you can ask yourself this morning. The three questions are these. What if? Why not? And why not me? First question, what if? And you'll be open to new possibilities. What if I did this? What if I did that? Open to new possibilities. And then why not? What do you see in the world that needs to be done? What's not being done? Or not being done well? Or not being done enough? You see a problem in the world where maybe you can make a difference. Why not? And then the third question, why not me? And why not now? Let's bow our heads. And you can pray this in your mind or in your heart. Just say, dear God, I sometimes don't use my imagination correctly. I've imagined things that I shouldn't have, worry and fear and some ugly things that just aren't good. But I want to use my imagination to dream the dream that you've put in my heart. I want my life to be shaped by you, not by other people. Not by what my parents told me, not by what society has told me. I want my life to be shaped by your dream, and I want to live by faith. So thank you, Lord, that your dream for my life is bigger than my dream. Like the man who came to you with a sick son, I'm saying to you today, God, I believe, help me with my doubts. I want to have time talking with you, a quiet time where your spirit and your words refuel my imagination. And Lord, I want you to grow my character. I want to add to my faith so that the vision gets clearer. I want to be a part of what you're doing in the world. I want to attach my life to your cause, your goal of gathering a family that will be with you for eternity. And I want what I do in some way to play a role in building your family and building your church and your kingdom and your purposes for the world. So as much as I know how, I'm saying yes to you today. Help me to trust you. Help me to remember that when we call on Jesus, nothing is impossible. Lord, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.